RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. House Deputy Speaker Fadlison slams President Joko Widodo's economic package, strict sanction for civil servants using official cars. Indonesian search underway for plane mission with 10 people aboard. Now the news in detail. House of Deputy Speaker Fadlison reminded President Joko Widodo's administration that the public have resistance to government policies, particularly the recently launched economic package, Fadli said at the House Representative building on Friday, October 2nd. According to Fadli, the current situation resembles the past. Fadli warned the government not to let leadership crisis to occur. He said that a leadership crisis could be triggered by diminishing trust towards government policies. He also criticized the government for predicting that the country's economic growth would improve in September until the end of the year. Fadli added that this would cause public distrust both from the people and the investor sides. Jakarta Inspectorate tightens the sanction of Governor Instruction No. 150/2015 about using public transport civil servants. Previously, the sanction applied was not effective enough. Larso Marbun, head of Jakarta Inspectorate, admitted the policy is not run maximally since the sanction given is in observation formed. In the future, the sanction will be in the form of regional allowance taking a cut, Marbun said on Friday. According to him, cutting the allowance is assessed more effective compared with the administrative warning. The plan, the regulation will be made as governor regulation to strengthen its level. Based on the observation, there are many civil servants still using their private vehicles and park in other buildings. The regulation stated that they must use public transport in the first Friday each month. An air and ground search was underway Saturday for a small passenger plane that went missing with 10 people on board during the domestic flood in eastern Indonesia. The DHC-6 twin otter plane lost contact with the air traffic controllers 11 minutes after taking off in good weather on Friday from Masamba in South Sulawesi province. This was stated by Transportation Minister spokesperson Julius Barata. No distress signal was received. Barat said that the plane owned by the private Aviator Mandiri airline was heading to Makassar, the provincial city. It was carrying the 3 crew members and 7 passengers, including 3 children. 4 aircraft were deployed to search the mission plane, said Petrus Budi Prasetyo, commercial general manager for the airline. Aside from the aerial search, more than 160 personnel, including 120 soldiers, were deployed for a ground search. This was stated by Henry Bambang Sulistio, who heads the Indonesian National Search and Rescue Agency. He said the search for the plane was positioned on 15 miles or around 24 kilometers radius from where it last made contact. Ahmad Munir, head of the Airport Authority Makassar, said. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Aceh National Committee for Rohingya Solidarity, KNSR, is set to report 4 female Rohingya refugees who claim to have been raped following medical examination results from the Aceh KNSR chief Mustafa tiba on Friday, escorted by Kompas.com. said that Kat Mutia Hospital that contradicted the allegation Aceh has kindly welcomed the Rohingya refugees. Volunteers from various institutions as well as Aceh residents have left their own families day and night to help them. According to Mustafa, the large toll of the refugees had made Aceh and Indonesia target of abuse from the world. He added that the committee suspected refugees had been purported into lying, which would explain why they dared to make such accusation and cause so much chaos in their camp. More than 200 ethnic Rohingya stormed out of their camp in Aceh on Tuesday, as tension erupted following claims of raid and torture at the site where the members of Myanmar's lone prosecutive minister had been held since arriving 4 months ago by boat. The incident erupted, the authority forced a female detainee to go to hospital. Other Rohingya did not want her to leave, fearing she could be abused more if the separated from the group, said Steve Hamilton, deputy chair of mission at the International Organization for Migration, who was at the scene. Hamilton said 4 female and 6 male aged 14 to 28 said they were attempting to flee the camp on Monday night because they wanted to go to neighboring Malaysia, where a large community of Muslim Rohingya exists. Director General of Regional Finance of Home Affairs Ministry, Rain Donisar Monek, expresses optimism the budget absorption could reach 80% by the end of the year. Currently, budget absorption in most of regions had been above 50%. The average regional budget absorption until the end of September reached 49.59% or rose by 15% from the last month. Tony said in Jakarta on Friday that he is optimistic that the budget absorption can reach 80 to 90%. For the record, the government expressed concern after average budget absorption in the regions until the end of August was only 35.85%. Gorontalo province reported the highest budget absorption, reaching 63.10%, while Jakarta province had the lowest budget absorption with 19.39%. The Indonesian Forum for Environment, while he said that the government's plan to build canal to tackle peatland fire in central Kalimantan will not be as affected as if it built in Riau. Ari Rompas, while the executive director for Central Kalimantan, said the canal location is too far from the hot spot. The canal is planned to build nearby Kahayan River. There is 5 to 8 centimeter difference between the head of the river and the land. The NGO further believed that the canal building would damage ecosystem of the peatland in the long term. River Watcher will interfere with the synthetic process of the peatland. Watch digging out old canal and building new canals would have cured some damaging event. It is believed that President Joko Widodo's instruction to build the canal will be good for long-term control if canal plots are further built. Harris said, but the method cannot be used to extinguish the fire. On the other hand, while he executive director for Rio, Rico Kurniawan believes that the block canals are affected to prevent fire on peatland in Sungai Tohor Village, Tebing Tinggi, Meranti Regency, Rio Province. Rico has even recommended that the succeeding method is implemented in other provinces. Similarly, Raples Protestes Panjaitan, the director of Forest Fire Control in Central Kalimantan, believes that the block canal are effective to tackle peatland fire in the province. The last item, the 7th Tour de Singkarak is held again in several areas of West Sumatra. The cycling competition is the annual event that is scheduled, as said, is included in the Indonesian Tourism Ministry agenda. As the starting point of the 9 stages of the competition that will be held since October 3rd until 11th, Pesisir Selatan becomes the first area to begin the cycling competition. In his welcoming speech, the Pesisir Selatan Regent Sofian expressed his gratitude because Pesisir Selatan was chosen as the starting point of this competition.
Today we had an important history of our people. There is an international event that chose us from all regions in this nation that hopefully will be able to gather the whole people of Pesisir Selatan.
The opening Tour de Singkarak 2015 that was also lauded by one of Indonesian popular bands, Wali, was also attended by Deputy Tourism Minister Esti Reko Astuti, who stated her admiration for the regional government and the people of Pesisir Selatan to support the success of this event.
Pertama-tama kami mengucapkan banyak terima kasih atas semua dukungan.
First of all, I would like to say thank you for the local government, also the people of Pesisir Selatan and Bispili, especially Painan. Second, I would like to appreciate all the sponsors that have supported to the Singkarak event since the beginning until the 17th of this event, and hopefully Tour de Singkarak this year will run successfully and smoothly.
The international cycling event is followed by 21 cycling teams from 55 countries and 4 Indonesian teams. The first stages will begin in Pesisir Selatan regions and finish at Pariaman, West Sumatra. The second stage will run from Pariaman and finish at Danau Singkarak, West Sumatra. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Era River Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with the week press review. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in this week's press review taken from some newspapers published in Jakarta. We start with Media Indonesia Daily, which in its editorial on October the 1st writes, "Breaking the single candidate deadlock." The concept of democracy in principle emerged and was created to embody the sovereignty of the people. However, ironically, sovereignty of the people often fails to materialize because democracy incorrectly translated in practice that is not consistent with the spirit. The most obvious example of this practice is Law No. 8 of 2015 on the election of regional head governing the number of participants in local election, as well as Commission Regulation No. 12 of 2015. Both are, in essence, do not accommodate a single candidate in the election because at least there had to be two pairs of candidates. If there is only one pair, the election was postponed until the next election. Media Indonesia argues the rule removes the right of the people to elect and be elected. Sovereignty of the people then had to bow to procedural rules which were rigid and did not heed the principles of democracy. So, according to the Daily, democracy indeed can and should be interpreted with different viewpoints. However, what must always be upheld is the people's right to choose and be chosen. That is the essence of the people's right guaranteed by the Constitution. The next review is of the Republika Daily, which in its editorial writes, "Trimming licensing time." As if to answer complaints from investors, the government finally released the second volume of economic policy package with a focus in the investment license and the long chain that must be faced by prospective investors to invest in Indonesia is not a secret anymore. In fact, President Joko Widodo himself acknowledged that the average care of licensing to begin doing business in Indonesia was 52.2 days. Republika is aware of the cumbersome permit process would certainly upset investors. Let alone investors who want to invest, even ordinary people also would shun bureaucracy, which ultimately lead to higher costs. This daily hopes with a second economic package volume, team investment makes our country friendly to the owners of capital. Investors will no longer disappointed every time they have to deal with the bureaucracy. In addition, this policy is not just the promise of the president, which in implementation often far from reality. Investors should not be disappointed because of what they expect in the economic policy package is very different from what happens in the field. Therefore, not only the licensing time, which needs to be accelerated, the number of related institutions should also be reduced. We end the press review with Business Indonesia Daily, which in its editorial on October the 1st writes, "To guard small and medium enterprises' insurance." This month, the government has twice issued a package of economic policies expected to be able to find the solution to the pressure of the national economy. The package is considered a comprehensive one, even though there are some who may feel being overlooked. One of the community business sectors that needs to get more attention from the government is the micro, small, and medium enterprises, SMEs, which amounts to more than 57 million businesses. It has become a common knowledge that the small and medium enterprises is one type of business that is resilient in times of economic crisis facing Indonesia several times. In addition, the government is also expected to realize low logistic costs through development program that can pass and resolve the issue of connectivity and infrastructure in the country, so that the results of small and medium enterprises can absorb well. Therefore, Business Indonesia expects the government to optimize all efforts to maintain the durability of small and medium enterprises that still exist and become the motor of the real sector economy. Well, that was this week's press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Steve, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on October 3, 1932, when Iraq gained independence from Britain. Iraq is a country in Western Asia, bordering with Turkey to the north, Iran to the east, Kuwait to the southeast, and Saudi Arabia to the south, including Jordan to the southwest and Syria to the west. The southern part of Iraq is within the Arabian Peninsula. The capital Baghdad is in the center of the country and its largest city. The largest ethnic groups in Iraq are Arabs and Kurds. Other ethnic groups include Assyrians, Turkmen, Shabakis, Yazidis, Armenians, Mandians, Circassians, and Kaulia. Around 95 of the country's 36 million citizens are Shia or Sunni Muslims, with Christianity, Yarzan, Yazidism, and Mandianism also present. Iraq's borders were mostly demarcated in 1920 by the League of the Nations when the Ottoman Empire was divided by the Treaty of Sèvres. Iraq was placed under the authority of the United Kingdom as the British Mandate of Mesopotamia. A monarchy was established in 1921, and the Kingdom of Iraq gained independence from Britain in 1932. The next event was in 1965, when the bodies of the army generals who were the victim of 30th September coup d'etat movement were found. Due to the hot political situation in 1960, the Indonesian Communist Party gave political influence in Indonesian government at that time. The third biggest members in the world after Soviet Union and China, the party directly or indirectly supported the 30 September 1965 movement in Indonesia to confirm the communist ideology in Indonesia. The movement, which was held on 30th September 9, kidnapped and murdered six generals of Indonesian army and one army officer. 3 days later, based on information from a police officer who escaped from the abduction, the corpse of the victims were found at Lubang Buaya Well on October 3, 1965. The finding eventually ended in Indonesian Communist Party movement and stepped down of the old order regime, followed by the resignation of Sukarno as president. And the last event was in 1990, about German reunification. The German reunification was the process in 1990 in which the German Democratic Republic, or East Germany, joined the Federal Republic of Germany, or West Germany, to form the United Nations of Germany, and when Berlin reunited into a single city, as provided by its Grundgesetz Constitution Article 23. The end of the unification process is officially referred to as German Unity, celebrated on the 3rd of October, or German Unity Day. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today, it's on the Constitutional Court granted permission for single candidate in local elections. The Indonesian Constitutional Court granted the judicial review of the 5 chapters in Law No. 8 of 2015 concerning local elections. The clauses regulate the number of participants in local elections. In its decision, the court agreed on a single candidate in the simultaneous regional election on December 9, 2015. That is, the elections can be followed by just a pair of candidates if there is no contender. Constitutional Judge Igdewa Gede Palguna read the verdict on Tuesday. He said that although the Constitutional Court agreed with the test material, the court did not agree with the request for empty boxes in the elections. The Constitutional Court much prefer that in the coming elections, people just choose whether to agree with the existing pair of candidates or not, like in a referendum style. If more people choose to agree, the candidate then would be designated as head of the region. Conversely, if people choose not to agree, then the election will be postponed until the next election. the Judicial Review of Law No. 8 of 2015 concerning local elections was proposed by University of Indonesia political analyst and lecturer Effendi Ghazali and Erlangga University in Surabaya lecturer Yayan Sakti Suryandaru. Both suit 5 clauses in the election law that regulates regional election must be followed by a minimum of 2 pairs of candidates. According to the plaintiffs, the articles were deemed contrary to Article No. 18 of Law 1945 governing local elections. They argue the rules in the 5 chapter in the election law could hinder the people from expressing their constitutional rights. With the granting of single candidate, in the Constitutional Court's decision, elections in 3 areas, namely Blitar in East Jawa Province, Tasikmalaya in West Jawa Province, and North Central Timor in East Nusa Tenggara Province, the regional election are likely to be held on December the 9th this year. Previously, the regional election was supposed to be postponed by the Election Commission because it only had 1 pair of candidates. The commissioner, Hadar Nafis Gumai, in a short message on Wednesday said the commission would carry out the verdict issued by the Constitutional Court on the single candidate in 2015 elections. Hadar said all commissioner had decided to hold a plenary meeting related to the decision of the court and decided that the areas which only have a single candidate are to follow the 2015 simultaneous election. In an interview with a private television, Commissioner Ida Budiarti said the commission set up 2 design of ballot papers to be used by the regions which only have single pairs of candidate in a simultaneous election. Well, that was Focus Today, which was on the Constitutional Court granted permission for single candidate in local election.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again. I'm here, Manar Rahmana, to inform you some headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta on Saturday 3rd of October 2015. Well, let's start headline in Kompas. In his headline, Kompas write, short-term policy is being waited. Business people ask the government to issue package of policies that directly benefit and impact people in the short term. In addition, the package to be issued should have technical guidance and guidelines or regulations. Secretary General of Association of Industrial Olefin and Plastic Indonesia, Aramik Budiono, said in Jakarta on Friday, the rule of implementation and technical procedure of the package still need to be prepared in the short time. The business side is waiting for the implementation of policy package. One example of the significant policy in the short time is the decrease of electricity tariff, because the decrease of electricity tariff will affect production costs to be more efficient. Well, now let's move to Republika Daily. In its headline, Republika writes, 2,000 photographs of Mina victims were released. The undertakers of Al Muassim released 2,000 photographs of the victims of Mina tragedy until Friday, 2nd of October, at around 05 local time. The number is more than the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has claimed in regard to the number of pilgrims who died due to stampede on the road 204 Mina, Saudi Arabia, on last Tuesday. Regional head of the Working Committee for Hajj Mecca, PPIH Saudi Arabia, Arshad Hidayah, said on Friday that based on the photo release at Al Muassim, no information was related to the victims other than Mina tragedy. He said the number of photos released yesterday was also more than the photos accepted. PPHI Saudi Arabia claimed that some time ago there were as many as 1,007 photos. Nevertheless, the Minister of Health of Saudi Arabia at the time insisted that the number of victims of tragedy Mina was 769 people. According to them, the photos released by Al Muassim were not just the ones of Mina tragedy victims, but also victims of collapsed mobile crane in Masjidil Haram and the pilgrims who died in a series of pilgrimage. Listening, we come to an end of out our newspaper headlines with the Media Indonesia Daily. In its headline, Media Indonesia write, electricity tariff for industry trend to decrease 10%. The government of Indonesia has time and space to reduce the burden of economy. When the amount of premium price reduction calculated by Minister of Energy and Human Resources and PT Pertamina still continues. The amount in reduction of electricity tariff for industry has been more predictable. In the calculation of state electricity company PT PLN, there is sufficient space to support the economic policy package for the third phase, which will be launched early next week, particularly related to the President Joko Widodo's plan, who wants to include a decrease in electricity rates in incentive package. Head of the Commercial Division of PLN, Benny Marbun, said in Jakarta, in addition to a decrease in electricity rate at the premium, the government is also preparing subsidized credit for companies not to lay off employees because of financial difficulties. Listener, these were some headlines of national newspaper published nationally today.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. House of Representatives Deputy Speaker Fadli Son reminded President Joko Widodo administration that the public have resistance to the government policies, particularly the secondly launch economic package. Jakarta Inspectorate tightens the sanction the government instruction number 150/2015 about using public transport civil servants. Previously, the sanction applied was not effective enough. Lars Marbun, head of the Jakarta Inspectorate, admitted the policy is not run maximally since the sanction given is in administration form. An air and ground search was underway Saturday for a small passenger plane that went missing with 10 people on board during a domestic flood in eastern Indonesia. The DHC-6 twin otter plane lost contact with the air traffic controllers 11 minutes after taking off in a good weather on Friday from Masamba in South Sulawesi province. The Aceh National Committee for Rohingya Solidarity KNSR is set to report four female Rohingya refugees who claim to have been raped following medical examination results from the Aceh KNSR chief Mustafa tiba on Friday, as quoted by Kompas.com. Kata Mutia Ospel that contracted the allegation, Aceh has kindly welcomed the Rohingya refugees. Director General of Regional Finance of Homes Affairs Ministry, Roy Donisar Manak, expressed optimism that budget absorption could reach 80% of the end of this year. Currently, budget absorption in most of the regions has been above 50%. The Indonesian Foreign for Empowerment, while he said that the government's plan to build canal to tackle peatland fire in central Kalimantan will not be as effective as if it's built in Rio. Ari Rompas, while executive director for Central Kalimantan, said the canal location is too far from the hot spot. The 7th Tour de Singkara is held again in Sabah of West Sumatra. The cycling competition is the only event that is included in the Indonesian Tourism Ministry agenda. As the starting point of the 9 stages of the competition that will be held since October 3rd until 11, Pesisir Selatan becomes the first area to begin the cycling competition. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequency of 95.25 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, special food, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Tabuan Island, Banyuwangi Regency in East Java. So, stay tuned. Listener, Tabuan Island is located in the middle of Bali Straits, which divides Java and Bali Islands. Tabuan Island belongs to Bang Sring Village, Wongso Rejo Subdistrict, Banyuwangi Regency in Java Island. It is called Tabuan Island because the wind in this area is quite heavy. It sounds like the strike of percussion. Well, in Indonesia, we call it tabuhan, gendang, or the strike of percussion. Tabuhan Island is one of Banyuwangi's potential tourism destinations with beautiful scenery which is not known by many people. The 5-hectare wide island is an unoccupied small island in the north of Banyuwangi. Listener, Tabuhan Island is unique because of the color of its sand. In general, the beach along Bali Strait coastline has dark color, but Tabuhan Island has white sand and clear water, making it different. It is like inviting us to enjoy the beauty of the panorama along the coastline. The clean and white sand, clear sea water, and coral reef make you who come to Tabuhan Island amazed by its beauty. Moreover, the sound of the waves, the wind of the beach, and sea have made this beach very suitable for you who want to stay away from the hustle and bustle of the city or the problems of your life to seek for tranquility. At Tabuhan Beach, you can go sunbathing, go swimming, or scuba diving, or even snorkeling. And besides that, you can enjoy the flora and fauna around there. Listener, the water at Tabuhan Island are divided into three colors, namely white, green, and blue, suitable with its marine biota and the sea depth. The shallow beach has clear color because there is white sand underneath. Green color is for the beach with medium depth because of the coral reefs and the seaweeds under the sea, while the blue color is for quite deep waters because of various kinds of coral reefs underneath it. Listener, the only transportation to Tabuhan Island is the fishermen boats. If you start from Kampe Beach, Bang Sering Village, Wongsorejo Sub-District, it takes around 25 until 30 minutes. The boat can accommodate around 12 persons, and the best time to cross the island is in the morning to see the sunrise. By the way, it is closer to start from Bang Sering Beach at Wongsorejo Sub-District. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Tabuhan Island. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic from Indonesia. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the prospect of talas benang or benang taro cultivation. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. Talas benang is a type of original taro root from Pandeglang. The name beneng is an abbreviation of a Sundanese word, namely besar or big, and koneng or yellow. The origin of taro or talas beneng is a wild plant in Mount Karang Forest, Pandeglang. However, the current Banten local government has cultivated talas beneng to be one of the staple food commodities in Banten province in order to strengthen food security. Talas benang tuber is larger with yellow flesh color. The plant size can be very large, about 2.5 meters, with a maximum size of the bulbs can reach 10 to 20 kilograms per stem. Talas Beneng is known as a stem tuber plant, with the tubers grows on the stems up to the top of the soil surface following the plant stem, so it can elongate or grow tall according to the talas tree. Although this kind of taro or talas has entered the harvest period but not yet harvested, there won't be any trouble with the tuber. This is unlike the popular talas bogor, which if it has entered a period of harvest and not harvested, then it will rot. In its growth, taro plants or talas plant do not need any special growing requirements. Taro beneng is often used by local people to make taro or talas chips. Nevertheless, due to the limited tools and resources, it is mostly just being peeled and grated and then dried, sent to Bogor to be made into taro or talas powder in some factories. It can be used to make a variety of processed foods such as biscuit, brownies, cakes, and others. The government of Banten is now cultivating talas beneng to become one of the staple food commodities in Banten province in order to strengthen food security and reduce food vulnerability. Talas beneng has great potential to be developed as a local food source. Its large size with high protein content and attractive yellow color are the advantages of talas or taro beneng that become its characteristics that makes it different from other kind of talas or taro. The support from the state budget through partnership between the local government and private sectors in the development of local food is expected to spur food diversity, and the result of its products development and utilization of talas or taro beneng including can be popularized. Well, that was Miscellany today on the potential of talas beneng cultivation. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through mobile application RRI Play and RRI World Service on your smartphones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to Lekna Band. Listeners, Lekna Band has an opportunity to explore their fresh, simple, and powerful musical character under Valiant Circle Records in cooperation with Warner Music Indonesia. An album with self-titled Lekna was produced from the cooperation. They composed and arranged their first single from this album, Ya Ya Ya. VOI listeners, here is a song from Lekna Band entitled Ya Ya Ya.
So
Lechner Band, which consists of Sonny the guitarist, Bian the bassist, and Tommy the guitarist and vocalist, was established in early 2009. With the acoustic concept, they began their debut by regularly performing at famous cafes around Jakarta. Assisted by Aksa, a percussion player, they developed their musicality by rearranging songs in the 1980s and 1990s to be fresh and more attractive compositions. Tommy gives strong, unique, mature, and attractive vocal color. Bian's energetic and technical bass strumming is so popular and well blend with rhythm and melody of Sonny's guitar. Other singles such as Hanya Ingin Denganmu or Just Want to Be with You and Aku Ingin Dia or I Want Her and Pergi Jangan Kembali or Go and Don't Come Back deserve thumbs up and certainly will familiar among Indonesian music lovers. VOI listeners, let's listen to the next song from Lechna. VOI listeners, let's listen to the next song from Lechna Band entitled Hanya Ingin Denganmu, or in English means Just Want to Be with You.
Jika mentari pagi bersinar terang, bayang dirimu hiasi hari menjelang. Saat sedang bersamamu, ku tak ingin pulang. Oh Tuhan, ku rasa aku jatuh cinta. Aku terus berjuang untuk dapatkan cinta sejati yang telah hilang. Ingin ku memanggil dirimu kasihku sayang. Oh Tuhan, ku memang sedang jatuh cinta. Aku Queen.
Although the acoustic concept is rare in Indonesia, Lekna is not afraid of doing that. Even Bian and his friends feel comfortable with their concept and keep the acoustic nuance in the musical career. For our listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to the songs from Lekna Band entitled Aku Ingin Dia, or I Want Her, and Pergi Jangan Kembali, or Go, Don't Come Back.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Kau datang dan pergi sesuka hati.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.